Gary sends me a text a few weeks ago and says, I have magnanimously given to you chapter 15 of the book of John. I won't tell you what I sent him back, but this is a chapter that months could be utilized in sermons of many different colors and hues. But today I would like to give you, God willing, the Farmer's Cliff Notes version. Because the very first verse says, I am the vine. But I want you just to sit for a moment and think about this spring, the very first new growth that you have seen with your own eyes. Whether it's some green in the grass, or a tree budding, or a bush just about to push out its flowers. I just want you to have that in the back of your mind. Because this is about the bearing of fruit. That's why the title of the sermon is Fruit Bearing 101. But I don't think we have any idea what it has taken to bring us to the place of being fruit bearers. And my encouragement to you today begins with describing to you what it is like to actually graft a new scion, it's called, S-C-I-O-N, into the rootstock. When I saw the video on it, I cried. They take a whole field and they cut off the head of every single vine. So that it's just this thing about this big around, and the top of it is just weeping. And in order for that to heal over, they have to wound it down by its root. And they do so with a very sharp knife. And the first time I thought about it, I thought about the spear that was thrust into the side of Jesus. Hallelujah. What you need more than anything is excellent rootstock. And when our scripture says that Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, how much better could that be? See, you're supposed to have rootstock that doesn't have any disease. You're supposed to have the rootstock is impervious to insects. And this rootstock has got a wicked, deep root system. And yet it's cut off in order to make room for a new bud to be inserted into it that will grow and become an amazing harvest. Now, I'm not sure that every one of you here is a believer. I don't know that for sure. Only God knows that for sure. But I want you to think for a moment of what it was like the very first moment that you gave your heart to Christ and knew for sure that you were in the kingdom. You were that little bud. They take the bud and they cut it off so it has no root, has nothing to give it life. And they shave the back of it. And then they make a hole with a knife into that rootstock. And they push the bud down inside of it so its cambium layer and the rootstock's cambium layer are married together. Brothers and sisters, the wounds of your life have been married together to the one who has solved our problem with our wounds. They've been put together and has been bound up by the Holy Spirit. Because after that little bud is put into the rootstock, it's salve put on it, and then they tie it up. Without this excellent rootstock, we bear no fruit. We're just what it says. Everything is vanity. All is as nothing. The grass of the field withers, dies, and will be burnt up. But I promise you on the basis of God's holy word that you as a bud being grafted into the excellent eternal rootstock will bear much fruit if you follow the pattern of the vine dresser. Now, as I explained to you about this graft, it hurts. Now, my wife laughed at me this morning. I said, honey, why am I wearing red and green? And she said, oh, you want to be a Christmas tree? I'm like, kind of not like the right time of the year. I wanted to show you that the vine, the rootstock, hurts. It bled. It's bleeding. But me, the little button that's put into this rootstock, I'm alive and I'm green. And I'm about to produce fruit. That's us. I want to encourage you, those of you who have been Christians for a long time, it's okay. God can put a new bud into his rootstock. And those of you who have just become Christians, it's okay that you're not like the world beater. We expect way too much from baby Christians. That little bud sits there for weeks and weeks before it even puts off a little bit of green growth. And it's always reaching up towards the sun. I want to encourage you that we need, as we have been grafted into this God, into this vine, we need to be patient and allow him to do his good work in us, to build in us this energy that produces that first little green bud, knowing full well that some point in our lives there will be clusters of grapes that will be fruit in honor of the vine dresser. Now, when we as that little bud are grafted into this Lord, and it hurts, this is promoted by a strong bond. And this strong bond is no better spoken of than in the words of Christ himself. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy, or my joy, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. What better bond could there be than to be with somebody whose joy is eternal, is gracious, and awe-inspiring? We sang that song today, and so I'm thinking about that. Awe-inspiring. I'm thinking about, the world has no idea what joy is. The world's predicate is happiness. And unfortunately, happiness is dependent upon circumstances. And the circumstances here are not wonderful ones when you've been cut and put into a vine. But they become amazing when we wait and we're patient and we see what God will do. And he's going to build in you the fruit of his spirit. Love. He says it right here. Joy. So let's just go one back. When we're grafted in, it's because we can't bear fruit by ourselves. And it's because we must abide in him. And as we abide and our joy is made full, this bond gets stronger and stronger. And you can see the light bulb going off in the hearts and minds of young Christians. Have you seen that before? It's like they finally say, I get that. I can't tell you how many people I've shared the gospel with in my lifetime who have said, I don't understand. And I said, well, when you ask the Lord to be your Savior, it will all become clear one moment at a time. Because then you have the teacher, the one that has cemented you into this vine, who Jesus said, I am going to send you the Comforter, and he's going to teach you all the words that I've ever spoke. So let's hold fast to that bond. Now, does anybody want to tell us, that very first thing you saw this spring that was new life? Somebody be brave. Tulips, crocus, snowdrops. I don't even know what a snowdrop is. Awesome. Anybody heard of, say it again? Anybody heard any new birds?
Yeah.
Okay. And we... Peepers. You love the peepers. Yeah, we have a little pond across the street filled with peepers. The next portion here, brothers and sisters, is the hard part. The elements often act as haters. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Pat drove home and got into her driveway, and it was spitting what? We had ice and snow over the top of what some farmers had already put plants in the ground. Many of those plants might have already died because that element was a hater at that time. when we have excessive sun. And a couple of years ago, we had this wonderful spring that all of a sudden became 90 degrees for 3 days in a row and baked out over 70% of what we had put in the ground. Stephen and Josh couldn't get the water on fast enough. I remember them running around trying to set up the pumps and getting into all that. We need to allow God to cause us to be patient when all around us there are many haters. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, we as believers who have been grafted into this vine, who have become little buds, and we may well be starting to bear precious fruit on behalf of the kingdom, we have no idea that there is an enemy of our soul who is working in the hearts and minds of those who are lost to cause us to be cut off because we wither and die because we refuse to buy into that our only place of nourishment is the true vine. How many of you have sought out other things, don't raise your hand, to kind of bulk up your Christianity? How many of you have read books? How many of you listened to people speak whose message was maybe not the clear, concise message of the gospel? Turn on the TV any given Sunday and spin the channels and you'll see many who believe and pretend that they are those who follow Christ, but they are really haters thereof because they do not give God the glory for the difficulty that there is in this life when proclaiming his gospel. And if you're a Christian and you think it's going to be like me and love me, you don't really know what it means to be a Christian. We are to love who? God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love others as ourselves, love our brothers and sisters. It says so. But I tell you the truth. The vast majority of people that you're going to meet in this lifetime are going to be haters of the ways of God. And because he said, they hated me first, and they're going to hate you. Please don't be dismayed by this. It's going to take place. It is already taking place. So we have to be careful that we don't give in to the elements. I have often said to my wife, woe is me. Woe is us. Woe is this world. And that all may be true, but while yet it exists, underneath the glory of the Almighty God, there is time for those who are the haters to become the repenters and to be grafted into the vine. Is it not so? Because we were. At one time, we were haters of God. We didn't like anything about what he was and who he was and the people who were around him. I've heard the testimony of so many of you saying, somebody invited you to church, you didn't want to go. You didn't want to hear what they had to say. Get out of my face. We need to remember that even though these elements are haters of God and haters of us, they are also those who we are to produce fruit in an absolute act of loving. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. From the very beginning, when you are grafted into Christ, he has expected and is working towards in your life for you to become a witness of this glorious gospel. And my encouragement to you today is, as you've been grafted in, do not sucker off of other thinking and other ways that which is of the world. Bury your heart and soul into the Word of God. Read, pray, ask for enlightenment, and then ask him regularly who you will be used to produce fruit in their lives. Those who are haters, but are just as lost as we once were, and he loves them. That's why producing fruit is an act of loving. I was thinking last night, excuse me for a second, I said this to my wife, I said, you know, I love grapes. And when you pop a grape into your mouth, it gets nothing. It gets death. But it produces life for us. When we produce fruit on behalf of the King of Glory by the power of the Holy Spirit, We are engaging in the process of dying to ourself, that he himself might be glorified by this new fruit that's going to be produced. So let me remind you again. To some degree, all over this world, those who are Christians have a target on their back. And then finally, drought and hard weather conditions produces the best fruit. Have you ever seen where vines are grown in Italy and Greece? Many of them are grown on the sides of mountains that were and are dormant volcanoes. They get hardly any moisture. They don't get a whole lot of nourishment, because if you feed a vine too much, or if it gets too much water, it produces vapid fruit, no flavor. So it's the intensity of the drought and of the weather conditions that produces the most fruit. So should we be surprised that around the world, where Christians are most harassed and most hated, the church grows the greatest, with the most power, because it is relying upon the grafted rootstock that it is, instead of relying on itself? It must go before the Father, asking the Son to provide the nourishment that we need, that cannot come from too much sun, too much water, too much fertilizer. It must come from denying ourselves, brothers and sisters. If you want to follow Christ, we must deny ourselves first and then take up our cross. These hard conditions that are coming and are right at our doorstep, they will be met by many Christians who are not prepared. Just this week, I heard of a family who, because they did not allow their 8-year-old daughter in public school to announce herself as a boy, they took the child away from this family. The Ohio State Department of child, whatever it's called, took the child away. 8 years old. I don't have time, nor is it prudent today, but you should be studying what's happening right now and becoming prepared to do what it says here, to produce much fruit, even in the face of incredible hard drought and weather conditions. I want to remind you of something, and all of you have heard this before. Jesus said, when you are in this place, do not worry or be afraid, because I, the Lord, will give you the words to speak when it is necessary for my glory. So this vine, which is an incredible rootstock, we've been grafted in. There's a strong bond between us, the bond of joy and of love because of the work of the Spirit. We are willing and able to withstand the haters, because they hated who first? Jesus. And he said, don't worry, I have overcome the world. We are going to produce fruit if we will choose to do it in an act of loving and not wishing to receive something in return. You guys ever play that game? You do something for somebody you love and you kind of hope they're going to what? Do something back for you. How about the selfless love of Christ going all the way to the cross, expecting nothing from us? And then these conditions that we live in this culture, as they grow increasingly more hostile, we must grow increasingly more filled with the love of God. We must be as Jesus was when he was betrayed and beaten and harassed and made into a figure that no one could even recognize. He did not fight back. Remember those words when the time comes when your flesh, my flesh, wants to say to those who are treating us poorly, and instead offer to them the opportunity to as well be grafted into this vine. So I leave you the question, will you bear much fruit for the harvest of righteousness? And then, as always, in every little pamphlet that you get about doing anything with seeds or whatever, there's a disclaimer at the bottom. And it says, you know, these seeds might be gnosis, they might be this, they might be the other. Well, the disclaimer is that there's another harvest coming. We don't want to even think about this harvest. Would you read it, please, right now, the last verse, two verses. Underneath that red disclaimer, there is yet coming another harvest. Read that, please, to yourself. We are privileged to be a part of the harvest of righteousness on behalf of the glory of God. And there is a day coming, and it may well not be very far away, when the earth will be harvested, but it will not be on behalf of righteousness. When Jesus returns, Scripture says, the angel of God will with his sickle cut down and reap the harvest of the fruit of the earth, not the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the earth. And all those who are in opposition to God will be put into his winepress of his fury. Those are not my words. Those are his words. Lest you think I'm trying to scare you, reading it yourself should scare you enough. There are hundreds of millions, if not billions of people right now on this earth who are destined for that winepress of his fury. And we are the growth that God wants for them to see, to bring them to the place of at least acknowledging and maybe coming into life, because the gospel is powerful to save, is it not? This vine who gave his life up for each little bud has the power of the cross for us. When Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed on your behalf for the remission of sins. Every week, we have the opportunity to take communion. And I know it's just grape juice, but it's from the vine. And so it's nourishing. And it fills us with hope, with joy, with the power. And his broken body reminds us that we ourselves are broken. And we need to reach out in love to this world that is so broken, it has no concept of even what its need is. God himself has in 25 minutes given you a Cliff Notes view. I hope it's been at least illustrative. Because I want you to know that without being grafted, we produce no fruit. Without hard times, we produce no good fruit. And without a knowledge that there are those coming who will be in and under God's wrath, we will not hasten, for the day is nigh. I challenge you. Be his method, message, and love to a dying world. Come, take communion, love him, receive his love, and ask him to give you the freedom to be a fruit bearer. In Jesus' name, amen.